Our text today comes out of Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give to you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, there's seasons in life that feel like wilderness. They aren't always dramatic. They aren't always catastrophic. Sometimes they are very quiet seasons. Then seasons. The kind where something has shifted, but you can't quite name what it is. You're still showing up, you're still praying, you're still trying, but underneath it all, there's a sense that the ground isn't as solid as it used to be. Most of us recognize that feeling because most of us have been there at one time or another. It can come after loss, when the world keeps moving, but you don't feel like you're caught up yet. It can come during uncertainty, when decisions hang in the air longer than you expected. It can come when health changes, finances tighten, or relationships become strained. It can even come in faith itself, when prayer feels quieter than it once did, and the sense of God's nearness isn't as obvious as it has been. And sometimes wilderness isn't about hardship so much as waiting. Waiting for clarity, waiting for direction, waiting for something to open that hasn't opened yet. Have you ever done what you believed was right and life got harder instead of easier? Have you ever stepped forward in obedience only to find yourself standing in uncertainty? Have you ever wondered, even quietly, if struggle meant you were somehow getting it wrong? Now, we don't always say these questions out loud, but sometimes we find them sitting very close to the surface. And when that happens, they can shake us because somewhere deep inside, we carry the assumption that if we are following God well, life should feel more settled. That assumption is exactly what Lent challenges. Lent begins with honesty. It invites us to notice the places where life feels stripped down or exposed, not to burden us, but to help us recognize where God meets us when things are not polished, are predictable, are steady. And the gospel that opens this season might surprise us, because just before this moment in Matthew's gospel, something extraordinary has happened. Jesus has been baptized. The heavens opened. A spirit descended like a dove. A voice from heaven declared, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Now, if you were writing that story, you might expect momentum next. Crowds gather, miracles begin. Instead, Matthew tells us something unexpected. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Led by the Spirit. That shows us that wilderness is not always a sign something has gone wrong. Sometimes it is exactly where the Spirit leads us. Now, to truly understand this moment, we need to step into the world Matthew's readers knew, because wilderness carried weight for them. It wasn't just geography, it was memory, it was identity. It was where Israel's story with God had been shaped. The wilderness was where Israel went after God brought them out of Egypt. It was where they wandered for 40 years between slavery and promise. It was where they learned dependence, because there was no food unless God provided it, no water unless God brought it from rock, no direction unless God led them. So when Matthew tells us Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, nobody would miss the connection. 40 days echoes Israel's 40 years. It also echoes Moses on Sinai and Elijah in Horeb. Matthew is not just telling us where Jesus went. He is telling us what this moment means. Jesus stepping into Israel's story. But this time, the story unfolds differently. Matthew tells us after Jesus fasted and after 40 days, he was hungry. That simple sentence matters because we see a Savior who enters the same fragile human space we know. Real hunger. Real weakness. And the Spirit led him there. Jesus isn't there because he failed. He's not there because God abandoned him. He's there because the Spirit led him there. That shows us wilderness is not a punishment. It is preparation. Before Jesus began preaching or gathering disciples, he enters a season where identity is clarified and trust is tested. The wilderness becomes the place where his mission is anchored. And loved ones, that raises a question for us all. What if some of the seasons we would most like to avoid are not detours at all? What if there are places where God is forming something in us that cannot be formed anywhere else? Matthew tells us that after 40 days, when Jesus is physically weak and hungry, the tempter comes. That timing matters. Temptation rarely shows up when we feel strong. It shows up when we are tired, when we are uncertain, when we are stretched thin. And notice that the devil's first words go straight to identity. If you are the Son of God. Not you are. Not you are not. If you are. Because underneath all three temptations is the question of identity. What does it mean that Jesus is God's Son? How will he live that identity out? And the first temptation sounds practical. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus is hungry. And there's nothing wrong with bread. But the temptation is deeper. It's an invitation to independence. Solve the problem immediately. Rely on yourself instead of trusting the Father. In other words, take control. How familiar is that impulse? When life feels uncertain, we reach for control because control feels safer than dependence. And then Jesus answers with Scripture. We live on every word that comes from God. Jesus grounds himself, not in hunger, but in truth. His identity comes from the relationship with the Father. Then the tempter tries again. He takes Jesus to the highest point of the temple, quoting scripture about angels protecting him. That detail matters because it reminds us that not every spiritual sounding voice is trustworthy. This temptation is about forcing proof. Make God demonstrate his protection. Make faith visible. But Jesus refuses. Don't put God to the test. Trust doesn't manipulate God. Trust rests in who God is. And then comes the third temptation, exposing the heart of the encounter. The tempter offers all the kingdoms of the world in exchange for worship, power, influence, recognition, without suffering. Just one compromise. This is the shortcut temptation that promises success without surrender. And Jesus says, worship God and serve him only. Now the center of the story becomes clear. Temptation is about worship. Who holds your allegiance? Who defines your identity? Who do you trust? Matthew tells us that the devil leaves and the angels attend Jesus. God's presence never left him. The wilderness did not weaken his identity, it clarified it. When we hear this story, it can feel distant, but the truth underneath it is close to home. Most of us face the quieter versions. The temptation to take control when trust feels slow. The temptation to demand certainty when God feels silent. The temptation to compromise for comfort or approval. The temptation to define ourselves by success instead of belonging. And underneath all of those questions is the same question. Who are you? Are you secure in God's love, or do you have to prove yourself? Those questions surface most clearly in our wilderness seasons, because wilderness strips away illusions and it reveals what we trust. One of the things wilderness does is it slows us down enough to notice what normally stays hidden. In ordinary seasons, we move quickly. We rely on routines, habits, and expectations. We assume tomorrow will look somewhat like today, but wilderness interrupts that rhythm. It removes predictability. It exposes how much we lean on things we rarely think about. Stability, health, certainty, control. And when those things feel less secure, we begin to ask what actually is secure. That is where faith becomes more than an idea. Trust is not really formed when life is comfortable. Trust is formed when comfort thins out. When we discover that what holds us is not circumstances, but God himself, not outcomes, but presence, not answers, but relationship. There's also something else that happens in the wilderness seasons that we often overlook. Compassion grows. When we have walked through uncertainty, we recognize it in others. When we have faced limits, we become gentler with people facing theirs. When we have needed grace, we learn to offer grace more freely. The wilderness does not only shape our trust in God, it shapes our love for people. This means these seasons, as difficult as they are never wasted. They are forming something in us that comfort alone could never form. We often assume obedience should remove struggle, but Jesus was obedient and he still faced testing. He was led by the Spirit and he was still hungry. This shows us that struggle is not proof of God's absence. Sometimes it is where trust grows the strongest. Jesus was sustained by God's word in the wilderness, and that same sustaining presence is offered to us. Now we see the deeper movement of the story. Jesus enters wilderness led by the Spirit, sustained by God's word. Temptation becomes the place where trust is clarified and identity is anchored. The wilderness doesn't remove God's presence, it reveals it. Lent teaches us something we often resist. Obedience does not remove struggle. Faith does not remove uncertainty. Being loved by God does not mean it'll be easy. But it's God's presence that holds us steady within it. Nothing about the testing changed who Jesus was. And nothing about our wilderness seasons changes who we are to God. We are still held. So the question becomes personal. Where does life feel like wilderness right now? This story doesn't promise wilderness will disappear quickly. It offers us something better, the assurance that we are not alone in it. The Spirit leads, the Word sustains, and the Father remains present. Jesus walked the wilderness first, and because He did, we never walk ours alone. Even when faith feels quieter than we wish, we are held. Bow your heads with me, please. Faithful God, as we leave this space of worship, go with us into the days ahead. When life feels unsteady, help us remain grateful. When life feels uncertain, help us remain trusting. When challenges arise, remind us that your presence does not change. Shape our hearts through every season so that we may grow in faith, hope, and love. Help us to walk with confidence, knowing that we belong to you and nothing can separate us from your care. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who walks with us always. Amen.